Morning, church. So she already alluded to, I am not the pastor here. I'm not a pastor anywhere, actually. I am a barista at Starbucks right next door. Curtis is one of my good friends, though. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to jump right into it. But first, before I pray, sorry, disclaimer, I talk really, really fast. I'm going to try to talk slow so everybody can keep up with me. Also, I get really excited, and I talk extra fast, so I'm trying to, like, temper myself. So if you haven't noticed already, that I'm trying to, like, slow it down so everybody can, like, follow me. All right. I want to thank everybody for being here. Did everybody have a Merry Christmas? Yeah, that's good to hear. Good to hear. I want to say thank you to all my family and friends that also came to, like, show some love. I have some, a bunch of my coworkers are here. My wife is here. My kids just left. And, some of my amigos are here, and I'm mad grateful. Oh, another thing, I use slang, but it escapes out. I try not to use slang, but if it escapes out, mad means like really. So I'm really excited that my family and friends are here to support me as well. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to jump right into it. All right. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for who you are. I pray that you would speak to us today, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, and I pray that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think it's super duper cool that in a worship setting that we're singing Christmas songs. It's fitting. I think some people think Christmas is all about like Santa and gifts. That's like the world's take on Christmas. But the Christian take on Christmas is about Christ. Would you guys agree? Hence, we're singing worship songs, right? It's cool that as Christians that we zoom the lens on Jesus in this season. I'll ask questions too, if that's okay. So if you'd be brave souls and raise your hand, what's our famous catchphrase for this Christmas season? Jesus is the reason for the season, right? That's our like the Christian catchphrase. And that's absolutely 100% true, right? Like Jesus is legitimately the reason for the season. I'm gonna pull up the lyrics on my phone real quick because I screenshotted it because I don't know the words. I'm not gonna sing it because I'm not a singer. We sing these songs about Jesus, and I think like the world doesn't like connect it to God. They just sing the songs because it's part of the season. But if we understood who these songs were singing about, it would affect us in a way that's like different, and it should. So the God songs aren't throwaways. Like Santa Claus is coming to town, whatever. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, whatever, right? Like we're in the car looking at Christmas lights with my family. See, I'm excited. We're in the car looking at Christmas lights with my family, and my daughter's like, can we listen to some Jesus Christmas songs now? I feel like Jesus is going to get mad because all we keep talking about is Santa, which is hilarious because I didn't like tell her to say that. She's six. But she already recognized that like enough of the Rudolph and enough of the Santa Claus. Let's get to some like Away in the Manger or something. You know what I'm saying? So I want to read the lyrics to that song real quick. If I can find it. All right. So it says, I'm not going to sing it because I would destroy your eardrums. Away in a manger, no crib for his bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky look down, here we lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Right? We read the scriptures. Does it say anything about Jesus not like crying? Nah, right? That'd be super weird. Some emotionless baby sitting in like a manger. Right? Like my babe, can I steal your water? Yeah, sorry. But my daughter got this doll for her birthday called Violet Anna, I think it is. I call her Violet Anna, but it looks like a little human being and it has like no soul because it's plastic, but it's kind of creepy, right? That's like the picture in my head I get when they say like the little Lord Jesus laying in his manger, emotionless, just sitting there, right? But he's a human being like, God in the flesh, born in a human body, a baby in a manger. It's kind of crazy when you think about. Sorry. So we read the lyrics to that. But then think about this, right? That moment in time was so important that heaven actually invaded earth for a little bit to celebrate, right? Like the angels in heaven are unimpressed with God. Like the angels in heaven, they stand before God and they're absolutely stunned and amazed, right? Like we on earth, we go about our daily business. We're impressed with football players and celebrities, and we're impressed with movies and Star Wars and Avatar and X-Men and all that. Like, I'm a super comic book nerd. We're so impressed with small things, but the angels see the biggest thing in heaven and they cover their eyes and they're like, holy, wow. And they bow before his feet and they are absolutely thrilled and stunned at the presence of God, right? Baby Jesus is God in the flesh. Like, God, this God that the angels, that if we were to see, we'd be tempted to worship, see this God, and they fall down at his feet, and they're amazed, and they're stunned. Baby Jesus is born on earth, and the angels are like, oh, that's cool. They're like, let's go to earth and celebrate with the humans, right? So I also want to look at the scripture real fast. Luke 2, 8 through 14. It might be 3, 8 through 14. I think I wrote the wrong one. Nope, 2, 8 through 14. All right, so peep this, right? So get this image in your head of the angels sitting before the throne of heaven, stunned at the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus the Son comes to earth, born, and they're like, wow, this is radical. The shepherds are sitting there, unbeknownst to them, that God was born on earth, Emmanuel, right? So the angels show up. The shepherds, so let's paint the picture of the shepherds just sitting there doing what shepherds do. They have their little staffs, they're sitting there, blah, 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 you know. Sheeps are bad, whatever sheeps do, you know, you're shepherding, you know what I'm saying? They're sitting there, all of a sudden, bam, angel shows up. Brilliant angel. Let's read the verse. It says, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. So we get this picture even in our head of angels being like these little fluffy babies that are like weak, right? Like little naked little babies, like floating about. These people didn't see an angel and say, oh, look at that cute little naked baby. They're like, ah, because the glory of the Lord shine. So even in that moment, they got a picture of like power, but not even the ultimate power, because the ultimate power was that little baby. Crazy, right? It says, the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not. Like, don't trip. Like, I know you're scared because I'm shiny, but something crazy is happening right now in the world. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy there will be for all people. It was so cool that he didn't say, hey, Jews, it's just for you. He said, there's great news that I'm bringing today in an actual central location in Jerusalem. A baby is born, and this baby is God. Isn't that wild? Like, this angel, they're terrified. They said, don't trip. Don't be scared. Don't be fearful. I have the greatest news for you, and it's for all people. So look around this room. There's so many different, like, shades and complexions here. And it's so cool that God calls people from every tribe, tongue, language, and nation. Like, God doesn't just call white people or black people Mexicans. He doesn't just call Asians. He doesn't just call Jews and people in Turkmenistan. He calls people from everywhere. Like, if you are a human being and you speak, if you're a human being, not even if you speak, if you are a human being, you are invited to the party. And that's what he's saying. It's good news for everybody. And then this is even crazy. It says, for them to this day, the Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign from you. A baby will be wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, not sitting there emotionless, void, zombie baby, but like real human being, God. And it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest. Like, isn't that wild? Like, these shepherds are sitting there doing what they do. An angel showed up and said, hey, I know you're terrified. Don't trip. God is here. And then a bunch of other angels showed up and they had like a party in the field. And then the shepherds are like, hey, let's go check that out. And saw emotionless Jesus sitting there. No, I'm just kidding. So I think it's really cool that in this worship setting that we actually sung Christmas songs because they're appropriate all year if we're zooming the lens on Jesus. The world, as Christians, we zoom the lens on Jesus. The world, they zoom the lens on what? Stuff. Yeah, simply put, right? Like, it's all about stuff. It's all about gifts. For us, it's all about the incarnation. The incarnation, it's a really big word. It's a really big deal. The incarnation, it's not milk, like carnation milk. The incarnation is God putting on human flesh. So if you're looking in the Bible at John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I skipped a bunch, but that's what it eventually says. Like, the Word put on flesh and dwelt among us. That's mad. So Jesus being born is not a small deal. It's a huge deal. I don't know. I don't recommend this movie because I think it's whack. But I remember watching this movie and walking out of it because I thought it was whack. I think it is Step Brothers. And there's a scene where they're like, little baby Jesus, and it's this huge like joke. But if they understood that this little baby Jesus was the very God who spoke the world into existence, it's not funny like that. Like if you recognize who you're dealing with, if you recognize the magnitude of God coming to earth, it's not like a throwaway, it's a huge deal. And the world, they zoomed in on gifts. What are some of the memorable gifts you got in your life? We'll simplify it. Who got a cool gift this year? It's okay. Oh, I'll let you share your story. Yeah, what was your memorable gift this year? A foodie? Explain this said foodie grill, please. This is my wife, Teresa, everybody. Explain this said foodie grill, please. This is perfect. So my mom blessed my wife with this amazing gift, right? So Teresa doesn't tell me what the gift is. She's super excited about it. When she first gets it, she's like, I already know my gift is from your mom. And I'm super excited. Cool. You know what I mean? That's awesome. So then Christmas morning, she's like, you're going to shake your head when you see my gift. So then I'm like, I probably will, because you know me really well. So she gets it. She's like, everybody's at my mom's house. Everybody's doing the presents. And there's a box sitting over there. It's unwrapped. And then I'm like, bet you that's it right there. Because Teresa's like in love with all gadgets and gizmos. Like, yeah, I'm not trying to roast you right now. I'm just going to roast you. But she's in love with like all gadgets and gizmos. Like, if they made like a hot dog slicer, she would be about that life. If they made like a, she has an onion holder. Does anybody else have an onion holder in here? Maybe she's not the only one. Does anybody else have an onion holder? Exactly. So like, we'll go to a store and she'll see like, oh, babe, this is perfect, an onion holder. Like, sure it is. You know what I'm saying? So she was super excited about this like gift, which is okay. You should be excited about gifts because gifts are special. They mean something, right? It'd be super strange if we received gifts like this. Thank you. Especially if you're excited about it. Like when I first met Teresa, the first 2 or 3 years we were married, or dating actually, I was mad sick at Christmas time every year. It just so happens. And I remember it was kind of weird because I just met their family. I had like tissue stuffed in my nose. I didn't care because I was sick and I was like, whatever. And I remember I got an Xbox one of the years, and my lack of like zeal and lack of emotion confused their whole family because they're all really excitable. Like they're like, yeah, shoes, do a cartwheel, start hitting the dance. That's not my personality at all. Like you see me up here, I'm talking, I'm lively. Catch me in real life. This is not like my normal like energy, we'll say. Like I can be excitable, but I'm not like excitable, if that makes sense. Like, you know what she knows what I'm saying now. So I get an Xbox and I'm like, oh, thank you. Super excited on the inside. I'm like, yes, Xbox is gonna be so great. But my outward expression didn't represent what the gift was. That makes sense? So like her excitement makes sense. When we get gifts, it'd be weird if we got great gifts like, whatever, you know, it's cool, thanks. You do that with lame gifts. I remember 1 year I got a gift that was one of the most memorable gifts. Wasn't the Xbox, though I thoroughly appreciated, danced on the inside. 1 year when I was a young lad, when pre-Jesus, before Jesus meant anything, I was all about the gifts. And I remember 1 year, it was rough in our family, and I didn't think I was getting anything. So Christmas morning, I laid in my bed and didn't get up. I just like laid there, sleep, Christmas comes. Like, most kids get up in the morning, yes, presents, zoom downstairs, about that time, you know what I mean? I'm laying in my bed, I'm like, I ain't getting nothing, I don't care, getting up, bitter, mad, unappreciative of the fact that I'm like alive, right? Unappreciative of the gift of life that God has bestowed upon us, right? Because I don't know any better. So I'm laying there, my mom comes in my room, wake up, son. And I'm looking at her like, why? You know, I'm like, it's Christmas. Cool. Little punk kid, like, cool. And she's like, I got you something. So then I'm confused, like, huh? Like, you got me a gift? I thought we weren't getting nothing. So I go downstairs, and this is gonna trip you out what I was excited for. I cried. My mom got me a flannel. But the fact that I got a gift when I wasn't expecting it legit brought like tears to my eyes. I was bitter. So like, the most memorable gift for me was a goofy flannel. It was like, I remember it was a green and black flannel with like the black end sleeve. And I remember just because I wasn't expecting anything, the fact that like my mom like made it happen somehow, just to, like bless me with something, meant like the world. So like our response to the gift says something about the gift. I make the argument today that the greatest gift in all of creation is the gift of life found in the man Jesus, right? Jesus is 100% God, 100% man, weird math. That's 200%, right? But absolutely, he's not Hercules. He's not half God, half man. He is 100% God of very God and 100% man. You poke him, he bleeds. He ate food. He's a human being. God, the greatest gift ever is the gift of life found in Jesus. So when we sing these songs, we go back to that and think, man, God has given us a gift this day. I wrote, I guess, the baby grows up. And as a man, Jesus would give his physical life so that we can have spiritual life. That's wild. So I want to read the scripture that is like on the paper that we're going to read today. You're probably thinking, is this dude ever going to read the Bible again? Yes. Ephesians 2. Are you guys following me? Am I talking really fast? I feel like I'm flying. All right. All right, so Ephesians 2 is one of those verses that's so, like, crazy. Like, when we read the Bible, it's easy just to read it and not, like, sit on what we're reading because it says so much there, right? Like, it literally is, like, a lot of stuff there, and it's really important things. So, like, this is one of those verses that, like, I read and it's, like, confused me, but and as I think about it, it points to the magnitude of like who God is, and it's so dope, so amazing. Dope is slang for amazing, not like drugs. This is not drugs. All right. So I told you the slang escapes sometimes. I try not to do it, but can't help it. Sorry. Like some people speak Spanish, some people speak Hebrew. I speak slang, but right now I'm speaking English, so you can follow me. All right. All right. Ephesians 2. It says, "By grace through faith." It says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that was now at work in the sun." I'm gonna pick this up, it's kind of hurting my back. The prince of power of the air, the spirit that was now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, like, sit on that, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show us the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. Not a result of works, so no one would boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Man, that verse, Peggy read it. Super cool. Read it again. Like, man, it's so crazy. So I want to break it down, like bit by bit, and then shoot off to some other scriptures. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. So, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived. And the ones we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And by nature, we are children of wrath. Who is all? Everybody, right? So it's including everybody. Like, it's a crazy statement. It says, you were dead. Raise your hand if you've been dead before. Yeah, we've all physically dead. Raise your hand if you've been physically dead before. Maybe there's somebody in here, that'd be kind of crazy, right? Then everything would be thrown off and I'd be like, oh, all right, done, peace. But Jesus, like, the Bible is speaking to living people. So when it says you were dead, that's one of those like weird things, right? Like you were dead, but I ain't never been dead. For far as I know, I've been alive my whole entire life. You know what I'm saying? So when it says you were dead, what does that mean? There has to be a layer to that that's deeper than just biological, organic flesh. So when it says you were dead, it applies it to everybody. Then it says all, right? So not every single person that's ever been on planet Earth, bar one person, Jesus, was dead. And it tells us why. It says, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that was now at work in the sons of disobedience. Spoiler, that's the devil is talking about. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and by nature, children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So the reason we were dead is because of sin. like sin entered the world. You guys might may or may not know the story of Adam and Eve, but there's a story in the Bible where there's a tree and God says, hey, don't touch this tree. It's the tree of life and the tree of good and evil. And they disobeyed God. And God said, as a result of your sin, you will die. Well, they didn't like fall out and die, right? They didn't like eat the apple, like and just like die. You know what I'm saying? So they're like, yo, we're alive. But what happened was sin entered the world. And as a result of that, where all their offsprings were all spiritually dead, unless we come to spiritual life. And there's only one way through that. And it's so dope, it's so exciting. Because God, verse 4, but God, you were dead, but God made it possible for us to have life. Yeah. Let's look at, oh, before I go there, this is something so cool. But I was talking about like reading the Bible and not passing over it, the language it uses. I've shared this, like, I do a Bible study with some of my good friends. And one of the things that like, I remember pointing out because it's so fascinating to me is the language that God uses. He doesn't use like generic language. He doesn't say, but God's love. It's his great love. Not like some mediocre weak sauce love. Like, what does it mean to love greatly? It means coming to earth and giving your life so we can be spiritually alive and live with God forever. That's great love. It's not just like, kind of like love it. You know, it's cool. They're cool. I made them. Like these cookies, I've made them. No, like great love. It's not just like, but God being rich in mercy, not just God. Oh, God has mercy. Rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead. So God didn't say, come to life and I'll love you. He said, oh, my people are dead. I'm going to give them a gift, life, and I love them. That's mad that God would bestow his love upon us, even in our dead state, because of our sins. It says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. So that life comes from Christ. I want to do something that I used to do when I was a youth pastor, because it's kind of fun. If you guys have a Bible, can somebody read Colossians 2:13? Colossians 2:13. Any takers? All right, Jess, go ahead.
And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses.
So good. So it says, and we're dead in our trespasses and sins, but Christ made us alive together with him. So there's a picture of that, right? We see that here in Ephesians 2. We're dead, but God. You were dead because of our trespasses and sins, but God made us alive in Christ. Can somebody read this one? This is a super cool one. And we talked about it a little bit already. John 10:10. Anybody want to read that one? John 10:10. John's in the New Testament. So that's so good, right? It says the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. Who do you guys think the thief is? The devil, right? So the enemy of this world came in the beginning and steal, killed, and destroyed. Adam and Eve chilling in the garden with God. He's like, hey, eat that fruit. God said, no, you ain't gonna die though. Just eat it. Ate it. Death came into the world. That destroyed us. That destroys us, right? So it says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God came to give us life and life more abundantly. Doesn't that sound amazing? I didn't say dope. Like, doesn't that sound amazing? God came to give us abundant life. What does that even mean, though? Like, to have abundant life. God is once, Jesus here is talking to a crowd, and he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you may have life and life more abundantly. He's talking to living people. He's not like walking around the cemetery like a crazy person. Like, he's talking to a crowd of human beings with biological life. But there's something called spiritual life. And that's what Jesus gives us, spiritual life. He says life more abundantly. If you were to look that word up in Greek where it says life, it's something like Zion or Zoe, Zoin with the N at the end, but it's Zoe, it's Zoe life. Zoe is spiritual life and physical life. So Jesus came to make us spiritually alive. Here's a crazy thought, crazy reality. Apart from Christ, we're zombies in a sense. We're spiritually dead people. The world is spiritually dead, doing spiritually dead things, living for spiritually dead things. If your lens only goes to gifts under a tree at Christmas, you are looking at Christmas through a dead lens and through a dead filter. If you're most impressed with the Kardashians and the Avengers, you're looking at life through a dead lens. The most oppressive thing in the universe is God himself. And this God who loves us greatly makes himself available to us, right? Like, we live, it's not that our appetites are too great, it's that our appetites are too small. So I have one of my friends here from way back in the day. He like knows, he's probably bugging out right now in the way that I'm bugging out that he's here. Like, he knows what I used to live for back in the day. Like, my heart was empty, I was dead. And I wasn't even aware of it to a sense. Like, I would sit in my bed at nighttime and I used to do drugs and I would smoke. I would smoke back in the day and I'd be high in my room, crying tears down my face, knowing I was going to hell because I knew I was dead and I was empty. And I didn't know that I can have actual life. Like, if what I was doing before was better than what I'm doing now, then I would still be doing what I was doing before. Because I didn't become a Christian to escape hell. I became a Christian to be alive. Like, the reason that we become Christians, we don't sell heaven. The main event of heaven is God. If heaven is the main event, we are all to argue that you're looking at faith through a dead lens. The best thing about faith in Christ is being alive to live with God forever. Like, God has not created nothing better than himself. Heaven is a creation. Heaven is not better than God, right? So the selling point for us as believers, if you're a believer, is not, hey, become a Christian so you don't burn in hell. Hell sucks, I'm sure. But be in the presence of an amazing God forever and be connected to the life that you were made to, like, to be connected to life for eternity. Man, that's what abundant life looks like. So apart from Christ, we look at life through a dead lens. Yeah, craziness. So he came because we have life and life more abundantly. Oh, sneaky. So this Zoe life, this spiritual life that God gives us, is a gift from God and it's found only in Jesus. It's not something that you like work for. Like, you don't try really hard to attain this like life. Like, if somebody told you that, hey, you guys all have a sickness and we have to climb Mount Kilimanjaro to get the remedy, how many of you would like think about it? The only place this remedy exists is the top of this mountain, and you gotta like get it. And when you get there, you gotta like burn a piece of paper and do some crazy stuff, right? We would do whatever it takes to like be alive if it's a work. But God says this life doesn't come from your striving and your effort and your working. It comes as a gift. Gifts are received. Work is your payment. It's kind of wild, right? So it says, we'll go back to verse Ephesians 2. It says, by grace you have been saved, raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable, once again, big word, like explanatory word, the immeasurable. What does it mean to, like, this has a measure, like this is what, 500 milliliters, that's a measure. God's grace towards you cannot, there's no label. Like, what would that even look like to see something that's immeasurable? God's grace towards us is immeasurable. It says the immeasurable riches of his kindness towards us, so we can show future generations of like the world, the universe, the cosmos. I don't know what it looks like, but there'll be a time when the universe will look back at what God did with us with his immeasurable grace, and God's gonna brag like, look, I saved them. They're dead and I made them alive through my son. And the heavens will marvel at that. It's wild. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of your own doing. It is a gift from God. How cool is that? That God gives us life as a gift, not from our own doing. I want to read what I wrote. This whole life is a gift from God, only found in Jesus. Apart from it, we're spiritually dead. I'm going to tell you the verse. I'm not going to have anybody read it. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So there's not a person that ever walked the planet Earth besides Jesus who's never sinned. So it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But then, so what does that mean? If we're dead because of sin and all have sinned, what does that mean? That means that apart from Jesus, we can't even be alive, right? But then it says, for the wages, this is another verse. This is Romans, that was Romans 3:23. This is Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus. It's a gift. A wage is earned. So the crazy thing is we're all sinners, which means my payment for my wage of sin is what? Death. Isn't that wild? That my payment, my striving on my own apart from Jesus is death. I can't be good enough to earn God. Like, when I stand before God, when I stand before the Trinity, I'm not gonna be like, well, I didn't say cuss words, I didn't watch R-rated movies, I didn't do this, and I didn't do that, and I was nice to my kids, I was nice to my wife, and I helped the homeless. Like, none of that stuff will get you right with God. The only thing that makes us alive, the only thing that makes us right, is faith in Christ. And the cool thing is, it says in Ephesians that we're his workmanship. Another verse says, masterpiece. The version you read today said another word. It said, I don't remember the word. But all the words are used, this is verse 9. His accomplishment. God made us his workmanship, his accomplishment, his masterpiece to do good works. Those things don't save you. That's what you're made for. So when you feed the homeless, you're not doing something to save you. You're doing what humans were meant to do, love. But in our deadness, we don't do those things naturally. So I don't smack my wife around. It's not a token. Like, hey, I've never slapped my wife. How many of you would congratulate me for that? Like, yo, I've never slapped her ever. On purpose. I'm just kidding. Nah, for real, I've never, nobody would be like, wow, that's fantastic, man. You're a great husband. You've never slapped her. Bro, you shouldn't slap your wife, right? Like, I've never done this. Like, I've never killed anybody that I know of. No, I'm just kidding. Nah, I've never killed anybody. Is that brag-worthy? But go through the list of all the things that we do as people. None of those things are a boast before God. Because God didn't make you to do those things. God didn't make you to be an addict. He didn't make you to be a narcissist. He didn't make you to live for money, right? Like, it's easy to list the bad sins, right? Like, oh, drugs and alcohol and this and that and this and that. What about pride? God didn't make you to live for yourself. He made you to live for him, right? So one of the things that I had issue with before I was a Christian, because I wasn't raised in church, was like, why do good people need Jesus? I knew I was bad because I did bad things. But why does Karen need Jesus? I'm sorry if there's a Karen in here. Why do people who do all the right things need God if they're already doing all the right things? Aren't they already good enough to go to heaven? No, because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The bar is super high and your weak legs can't jump it. Only one man was able to do that, and that's Jesus. And this life is a gift that you receive. I'm getting ready to wrap it up pretty right here. We receive God's gift enthusiastically, and that's what sparks worship. So the reason we worship God is he's blessed us. Like, God is good. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. And as we walk in newness of life, because we repent of our sins and turn away from it and receive the gift of life, we are able to, like, worship God. And once we receive this gift, it sparks us to, like, worship, which is kind of crazy. The reason we love Jesus is because he's worthy of our, like, praise and adoration, but he's good. There's a story in the Bible of this lady who washed Jesus' feet with her hair, and the people were, like, bugging. I think she was like, a lady of, like, she had a bad reputation, we'll say, in the community. Darren, she had a bad reputation. One of my friends right there, he knows. He's solid. He's, like, my commentary right now. But there's a lady. She had a bad reputation in the community. Jesus was sitting with a bunch of religious people. So picture the scene. Baby Jesus, God, incarnate God in the flesh, chilling with or hanging around a bunch of other religious people. And they're sitting at a table breaking bread. And this lady with a bad reputation walks in, bawling her eyeballs out and crying on Jesus' feet and washing her feet with his hair. And they're like, get that lady up. What is she doing? She's crazy. Like, what's wrong with her? Or is it that she just recognized who's sitting before her? And, like, the life that's available to us. Like, her response is the norm. Our response of sitting around Jesus unimpressed is the weird thing. Isn't that kind of a crazy way to think about it? Like, David is a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. It says he danced before God till his clothes fell off. Like, he was dancing, like, he says, he was in the street, like, so happy that the presence of God was there. This is even before Jesus. And he had a revelation of God and his love. And he's gigging before God. I'm kind of gigging for real, so let me stop that. I was feeling it in my head, like, oh, what's up? But anyway, David was dancing before God. His pants fell off, his clothes fell off. His wife was like, oh, look at you. She didn't probably say, like that, because she's not from Oakland. But she's like, you look a mess. She's like, you look so undignified. You're a king. Get yourself together. And he said, before God, I'll be more undignified than this. I don't know what that looks like. But he had a picture of God's love to the point where he would look stupid for the sake of worshiping this God, because he recognized this life that's available to him. That's what living people look like. It's craziness. That's so cool. So I would argue that our life in Christ, the love that God has for us, sparks us and causes us to worship. If David wants to come up, we're going to end right now. And I think we're going to do some communion. Yeah. Do you want to Want to pray out? Want me to pray out?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to do some communion right now. And the reason we do communion is to celebrate Jesus' death for our sins. So I want to read what I wrote just as we end, and then I'll pray. So for believers, as you take communion, rejoice and reflect on God's goodness towards you, this gift of life. So if you would say, I've repented of my sins, I know Jesus, I'm a Christian already, I rock with Jesus, Team Jesus, you wear the shirt like, yo, I'm with him. Like, I understand who he is. Like, we're not going to, he's not here to fall at his feet and wash him with your hair. I'm bald, like, wash him with my beard. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to do that. But the way we celebrate the life of Christ and what he did for us is by taking communion. So in this moment, while the song plays, let your heart go there and reflect on the gift that God has given us. If you're a non-believer, if you came in here today and you said, yo, I've never like purposely rocked with Jesus. That's slang. I've never purposely walked with Jesus. I've never turned from my sins and decided to turn to God. I never received the gift. There's no way to be alive except for receiving it. Like if I throw you a ball, like I play football, right? If I'm a wide receiver and I'm going out for a pass and the quarterback throws it and it just poof, hit me in the head if I don't receive it. Like God has thrown his love to us in Christ. It's kind of a weird image, but he's thrown his love to us. Receive it. If not, the alternative is death. You stand, this is my old catchphrase that my youth used to always hear me say, you stand in one of two places, and this is slang and I'm just gonna rock with whatever, it is what it is. You have peace with God or you have beef with God. You're here in that spot today. If you're here and you hear me talking, one of two places, you have peace with God because you've received the gift of life, or you have beef with God because by nature, you're a children of wrath because of our sins and our deadness. You don't have to die. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life. Choose life. So while we take communion, let that be your declaration that God, I'm gonna walk with you. So if you've never done that before, let that be your prayer in your heart. God sees you. He knows you. He knows your name. There's nobody here by accident. God hears you, and come up and take communion and just tell God, God, I want to live for you. I want to receive this gift of life that you have. And I would tell you to tell somebody that that took place. Let people know so we can support you and pray for you. So I'm going to pray and then we'll do the do. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your love. I pray that we would just know you and love you in a real way, Lord God. I pray that you would just have your way. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds. Thank you for your gift, God. Thank you for your gift of life. And I pray that we would just walk with you. And just throughout this next year, God, that this life would cause us to worship in a brand new way. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.